everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Tom, I knew it had been very cold, but do you realize this 10-day cold spell, the worst since 2011?
Wow.
Yeah, first
and
10.
That was in February,
No, no, no.
Was it in January?
This 10-day period is the coldest since 2011, the first 10 or 11 days of 2011.
Well, I remember a February where we had a cold spell that killed my lemon tree.
Yeah, that was a couple of years later where it was like 18 degrees.
Well, luckily, we don't have that many cold spells that it's hard to remember
them. I'm ready for the warm weather right now. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. They have the naming rights. We're glad they do to the studio during our program, which is part of the Bustos Media growing presence in our community. We have 5 radio stations now under one roof here, and we are on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, now Tucson's only source for live local news talk. We began last week our 14th year with our radio program and my 36th year in Tucson media here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Media shout-outs. TucsonSentinel.com supports us. Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group, which includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. On Friday, we bring in a media person co-host. Today, it's Eddie Celaya. Eddie gave his notice yesterday to the Arizona Daily Star, where he has been a breaking news reporter for about 4.5 years, right, Eddie?
Gosh, I was opinions and editorials for 2, breaking news for 2.
Then you did cannabis reporting, yeah. And of course your podcast. Yeah. You did a nationwide podcast called Hear Weed, WEED Go. That one for almost 2 years. And now you'll be joining the news team. We'll look at you on TV,
yep,
on KGUN9.
Yep.
You'll be a reporter over there on KGUN9, and we wish you the best. And hopefully our relationship with the Buckmaster Show, if anybody from KGUN is listening, hope we can continue on with it. Our Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nano. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
Have you formally announced that you will seek re-election, stand for re-election?
I don't know that I formally announced anything.
Why don't you formally announce it here?
Okay, I'll formally announce it. But we took out our paperwork several months ago. Yes, I'm going to run for office again.
How do you characterize these 3 years?
You know, I look at it as there was a lot of work to do. We've accomplished a lot. But there's still a lot of work to do. I mean, when you go through a pandemic, go through a hiring, a labor force shortage, recruitment challenges in this industry, and starting off with a staffing that's down about 30-some percent, and it's not just our department, it's across the valley, across the state, probably somewhat across the nation. I kind of keep moving forward and looking at the good things we've done. And we are now at a point when we first started in January 2021, we graduated an academy class of 7 people.
Okay.
And our attrition rate for a 23-week training period is probably about 20-some people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not making any headway. We worked on recruiting and got a good team together, and they did a great job. And today we now have graduating classes of 40, 50 people.
How many are you down? How many deputies?
Today we're about
90%. In the jail too?
Yeah. I talk department-wide.
Department-wide, how much are you down?
We're right around 90%. I think it's 1,568 is my authorized strength, those that I can hire. Mm-hmm. We could always talk about, do I need more than that? That's another topic. But we're at 1,512, 1,513, something around there.
I'll tell you, it's a tough sell to go into to try to hire anybody in law enforcement. These statistics that came out yesterday, Eddie and the sheriff from the Fraternal Order of Police, over 300 incidents targeting law enforcement people, whether they're sheriff's deputies or city police. There were, like, out of that 300, 100 were ambushes, specifically targeting law enforcement. And unfortunately, about 1/10 of those incidents resulted in fatalities. It's a hard sell to put somebody in a uniform in your business.
Well, you know, no doubt. I mean, you're asking these young men and women to put their lives on the line every night, every single day, and they do. I just went through a very tough issue where we had two of our deputies gunned down. I mean, in a fight for their lives, and fortunately they came out on top. But they've got a long haul to recover. One of them was struck four times. The other one struck a couple of times, did some major damage, but they're doing well. They're coming around. The community, my team, the Tucson Police, other agencies all stepped up and really, these two young men, I can't say, I mean, they're not kids, but they're kids, 22 years old, 24 years old, and what a fight. And they did everything they could, and they saved not just themselves and their partners' lives, but they saved the lives of many inside that home. And
was that domestic violence?
It was another domestic violence situation. Ooh. Yeah.
And all right, here's Eddie Celaya, soon to be with K-Gun 9 here in Tucson.
So the breaking news reporter in me is the bells are ringing when you're saying, hey, I've already filed my paperwork, so I'm announcing. And that leads me to want to ask, what is the work that remains for this second term if you were to be elected? You've talked a little about the gains you've made in recruiting, but what's the work that's left undone?
You know, I think when you come in and you're down 200 or 300 people, 400 people, You have these visions and promises to get involved in community policing efforts, real community, true community policing efforts. But when you're down so many, it's hard to justify doing the extra things you want to do as a sheriff. Hey, I'd like to have more school resource officers. I'd like to have more directed patrol to deal with quality of life issues. I'd like to have more traffic enforcement teams to deal with the issues we see on the roads every day. But if all I have is the number available to just answer a call, go call to call to call, that's tough. So now we've got our numbers up. Starting from when I came in here, we had 1,282 people. And remember, we're authorized almost 1,600. So we have brought those numbers up because we've got some good strategy and a team effort in trying to recruit. We looked at all these different methods and ways of doing it and using the resources. And the bottom line is, we found that the best way to recruit is use your team to get out there and do it. They're the best. Radio ads and TV, all those things probably have some value, but nothing has the value of having a team that wants to go out.
One-on-one contact with people, and young people who maybe are thinking.
Absolutely. That youth, that energy that somebody sees. If you don't like working for the sheriff, how am I going to recruit you or your sons or your neighbors or your daughters to come join me? But if you get in there and you say, wow, this is a great department, the people, the management team really cares, and we do a great service to this community, it's easy for me to expend that energy and sell it to you or your kids, your loved ones, to say, hey, come join us, be a part of us. Because it is more than, yes, the risks are there, we know that. But it is more than that. It is about service and serving others. And there is no better job than that. There's no better thing you can do in your lifetime than serve others. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to talk about one other thing. You say, what other work could be done? You know, we built substations. We're building a new substation. We've reshifted our districts. We've looked at our resources, as limited as they were. We brought in other agencies to become partners in the whole valley to deal with critical incidents, our Pima Regional Critical Incident Team. We've collaborated those teams to make it a multiplier, a force multiplier. All of those things work, and they're very well. I've never had a better relationship with all of the Valley agencies we have today. I'm so grateful for them. But one of the things we recognize, too, is technology can help. And you speak about being ambushed. We saw a video Chula Vista out of San Diego area, where they use drones to respond to some of their calls.
Really?
And it's interesting because they show a video of this drone that is flying. The call comes in. It's a bank robbery, a possible bank robbery. There's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a man out in the parking lot with a chrome-plated semi-automatic handgun. 4 or 5 cop cars are headed that way. You can just feel the adrenaline, right? They're going. And then all of a sudden, this drone comes in and beats them to the call, and it just sits there, and it shows, here's this guy leaning against a car. He has his chrome automatic handgun in his hand, and he lights a cigarette. That's captured on the video with that chrome automatic handgun it was a cigarette lighter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Immediately, those 4 responding officers shut down, toned down. They still got to respond to make sure everything's okay. But what, talk about de-escalation. That's using technology in a positive sense without Big Brother just going in and saying, hey, what's going on? What can we see? So those are some of the things we're looking at in the future that we're talking to some, Chula Vista, and there's another city, and I think it's in Maryland, that started this, and now it's spreading fire. I think you see, you always got to be a little careful, and we talk together as all of our law enforcement partners about the use of camera and facial recognition, and you still have that fear of Big Brother. Mm-hmm. So you got to find that balance. And so we're going to be looking into that. Those are some of the things we want to do in the future.
Eddie, did you have a follow-up?
So it sounds to me, along with that, that first half of your answer, that it really is going to be almost a community outreach in the second term.
Absolutely. I mean, when I came in, we had a total of 6 school resource officers. Today, we have 21 of them. We've now set up just this. We're in the process today working on putting together a team of about 6-7 officers to deal with nothing but traffic enforcements. They're going to be out in the busiest times of days, that morning rush hour commute, that evening at rush hour commute. They're going to target those intersections where we know we have the red light runners are just,
No, COVID, it's out of control.
Yeah, COVID did that to us too. Mm. I mean, it just, the streets were so empty. People looked at it as an open raceway. And we do still deal with the random stuff, the takeover of intersections and the racing and that. Those things we're dealing with too. But I think we need to, I just ask you, drive around this community and tell me whether or not you see a police car anywhere.
No, I don't.
It's just, and that's the, now we've got our staffing numbers up, so we're hoping to fix some of that. The other side of that, though, too, is we hope that, I hate getting tickets, and I get more tickets than most people. Mm-hmm. I just hate, but you know what? It also wakes us up. As a community, it makes you think and learn. And I'm not telling these guys, go out and write 100 tickets. I'm telling them, go out and be present. Make yourself visible. Make those stops. Give a warning. I don't care, but make people understand you're there, because police presence works. I challenge you guys to think about it. When you're driving along and you do see that cop car, what's the first thing you do?
I hit the brake.
I hit the brake.
Yeah, we all do it. I do. You know what I do? I look down at my speedometer. Yeah, automatic. Yeah, yep, even if I'm stopped, I look down at my... You just want it. And so it does make a difference. So we're going to beef that up. We have over 300 and some neighborhood watch programs in our communities. We attend all their meetings, their monthly meetings. And we do, and every one of those meetings, everyone, you ask them what the number one problem for them is. It's not the violent crime, even though that is a big problem. Mm-hmm. To those neighborhoods, it's
speeding.
Yeah. Traffic concerns. So we hear you, and we're going to do something. We're going to be more visible, and that's our goal moving forward.
All right. We are up against a break, but we just received some breaking news. You'll be doing a lot of this, Eddie, on Channel 9. Yeah. City Manager Mike Ortega notified the council today, notifying his intent. he is going to leave his position. It's a pretty big story.
Yeah.
After the completion of the 2024-25 budget process.
Wow.
So
few months, then.
He gets real high marks from a lot of people.
I know, Mike. Separate of anything he's done for this community, he's just a good, solid human being. He's a good man,
a good
heart.
He's a good guy.
I know. This is shocking to me. Yeah. I'm going to miss him. He and Jan Lesher had a great partnership.
I know.
I hate to see that go away.
Yeah, anyway, that's breaking news right here. All right, we'll take a break right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Sheriff, what about you and your relationship to bakery goods?
So this is, January is my no sugar month.
Yeah, you had a lot, didn't you, over the holidays?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now we're here already, and I'm looking at his screen there. It says Mona's Live. I'm so weak. I'm so sorry.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Great location up there in the foothills, part of Pima County. It's in the county. And they're open right now for lunch. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com, and they are ready for you in the breakfast. Open at 6:30. A lot of people are there when the doors open, when Steve and the team open the doors. They want their Danish, they want their coffee, and they're ready to get the day going. Eddie, you're a big bakery guy, aren't you?
Huge. Hit a lot of them in Mexico City.
Yeah, you had a great trip into the Federal District in Mexico City.
Oh, it's an
incredibly cosmopolitan city. It's a world-class city.
Amazing.
Mexico City.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a break right here. More with Sheriff Nanos right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Sheriff Chris Nanos is with us. Eddie Celaya, soon to be reporter for the KGON 9 news team, is with us. Eddie gave his notice yesterday to the Arizona Daily Star that he is going to be moving on over into broadcast, being a longtime broadcaster. I think it's a good move, certainly for Eddie.
Yeah. And I let him know 2 weeks ago. I didn't just drop the bomb on him yesterday.
it was a breaking news.
The way I characterized it,
it made it sound like, goodbye. I'm going over here, guys.
Bill's always after that scoop.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Speaking of scoops, what about the jail? Is it an unsafe environment over there, Sheriff Nanos?
Well, I believe it is. For a number of reasons, and I really have to be careful because I do have to respect the Blue Ribbon Commission. That was put together by Ms. Lesher and her team, and I think they've done a good job. But I think that commission has done a lot of work, and they should be allowed to present to the community what their thoughts are on this. Let the voters make that decision. Allow them to decide a path here, whether it's one of the recommendations from the committee, actually two, is one, either build the whole new jail or use the existing as best you can and remodel. But there is no recommendation from them to say
to
sit
nothing.
Still and do nothing.
Yeah, do nothing.
And I concur with that. My belief is a new jail, but that's based on a number of things where I kind of look at it as the existing jail doesn't function as it should in terms of a jail. Today's environment of incarceration is not 12-inch thick walls, concrete walls with $18,000 steel doors.
Keep it John Dillinger.
Really is an open bay area where you have 24/7 observation of your inmates. It really is about keeping everybody safe in that facility. And I always use the analogy. If you have a child and you hire me to babysit that child, I could sit there with a baby monitor while the child's sleeping in another room and play my PlayStation game all day and wait for the monitor to tell me what to do. Or go peek in every 30 minutes and look in the door and close it and go back. That's one way. Or would you rather me be in that room with that child 24/7? That's the safest way. And we think that you can build something like that, I hope, much less than what's projected. But I'm not the engineer. I have to respect them. I try to stay away from their commission until they are done. I think they're going to make a proposal to the Board of Supervisors here soon.
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah, my request of the Board of Supervisors is let's put that to the citizens. Let the citizens decide and decide the funding mechanism. It's no different than the RTA, our roads and that. They came together. They had a plan. And it seems to have worked. So let's use the existing models we know and try it.
How is staffing at the jail?
We are right now at about 93-94%. So that is excellent. That when I came in 2021, we were down to over 250
COs. Yeah, nobody wanted to be a corrections officer.
No, we've talked. That's just really a hard job. But
yeah.
It is really...
Is it a step over to the other side of the business?
It absolutely can be. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not everybody wants to be a deputy.
No.
But if you do, that's a great stepping stone.
That path, yeah.
A great learning experience. And we've taken some of that in our own training academies to say, hey, let's start you out here so you can learn some, talk about de-escalation skills. Mm-hmm. Those correction officers, they have no weapons on them. They have to learn how to communicate and deal with inmates and some pretty tough characters sometimes.
Here's Eddie Celaya. Eddie, what do you want to get into right now?
So as a kind of general news reporter with the Star, and I'm sure going forward with KGON, I've covered a lot of the deaths that have occurred in Pima County Jail, and a lot of them are suicide or folks who are coming down from some sort of drug, probably fentanyl or heroin, who just, pass away. What can be done along with, you mentioned staffing and maybe getting a new facility, to help kind of stem that tide of just deaths within this facility? Is it just a new approach to to folks on drugs that we really hadn't seen until these last 5 years? Is that part of it?
So yeah, I think you're actually touching on some of the things that our Blue Ribbon Commission is approached about. We take in right now today probably 2/3 of that jail is under some sort of psychotropic medication. Another third suffers from serious mental illness, SMI. We have probably, again, 2/3 or 3/4 of that jail has a substance abuse issue. And those two intertwine, substance abuse, mental health, again, we've talked about this
That's
before.
That's a bad combination.
Sure it is. But for me, my stance is, and it will probably be something that the community should think about, when the Blue Ribbon Commission says we want to build a jail, we also want to have a jail that has detox space for those who come in. When we came there, we had 4 detox beds. Today we have 30. 30, but you probably could use 100. It's just not enough. And that's just for detox, mental health, a whole new area. I've always said, if you're suffering from mental health or substance abuse, and that's it, there's no violent crime history, why are we taking you to jail? Why don't we, you know, we have one of the best in the world crisis response centers here, right just down the street from you, that at the Keno Hospital, that does tremendous work. They see thousands, and nobody in that facility has a gun or a badge. And I think when we say we want to build our jail so we can put mental health in there, so we can put substance abuse in there, that's great. But I want to know that are you setting it up where you're saying if you have a drug problem, you got to be arrested. If you have a mental health problem, you got to go to jail first. I would rather see those things out in the community. So when we look at the cost breakdown of our new jail or proposed new jail, to Chris Nanos, it's like, wait a minute, could we not save some of that money and say, just build me the jail? And the jail might need this much bed space for detox, this much bed space, but I don't need a mental health facility. I don't need a transition center for right now. We get people out of jail, you give them a bus ticket and a sack lunch and get the heck out of here. That's not appropriate either. So we have a transition center, but is it big enough? Is it large enough? And should the jail have that? To me, the transition center, getting out of custody and housing these people that need housing, maybe that's a good idea. It's great for the heart. But should that be something separate than a jail? I'm sorry, I'm the sheriff, and I have to deal with criminals. This sounds heartless. I shouldn't have to deal with those suffering from mental health or substance abuse unless they've committed a very serious crime. Yeah. And we do have those, but the greatest majority of those are there for, and I could give you some really sad stories, they're just there because they've made some very bad choices or they suffer from mental health.
Mm. How about the morale right now? There is a group that does not like you as sheriff. What do you say to these people?
Who are you talking about? Bill, I'm kidding you. I wish everybody liked me, right?
Yeah.
But I know that's going to exist. I just be me. I just be Chris Nanos. Go do our jobs. Let's do things right every time. That's what we tell our recruits. Your job is to do the right thing every single time. But remember, I make mistakes. We all do. We're human. That doesn't mean you can't do the right thing every time. When you make the mistake, is it a mistake of the head or of the heart? The head we can fix. The heart's another issue. So, yeah, I understand that there's always going to be those that don't care for Chris Nanos, and that's okay. Diversity, options, choices are good. But the only thing I can say to him is, judge me by my works. Judge me by who I am as a human being and those things I do. If I've done something to offend you, please let me know. I'll either correct it, apologize for it, or at least understand it. But it also allows you that opportunity to understand maybe some things that you didn't know about the decisions I've made.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to follow up on that, Eddie?
Yeah, as maybe, I guess, kind of adjacent to that, what is the status of the criminal investigation by the Attorney General's office into your office's handling of the Ricardo Garcia case?
Okay, so first of all, that investigation from the Attorney General's office has nothing to do with the handling of the Ricky Garcia case. Mm-hmm. It's not a criminal investigation. What they are looking at is there was a internal affairs there was a memo from the victim of the Ricky mm-hmm. Garcia case mm-hmm. who wrote to internal affairs, to the mm-hmm. department, saying, hey, I think these things happened, and mm-hmm. I think you should look at them, Sheriff, as an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. I didn't say we wouldn't. Mm-hmm. What I said was we will when the time is right. You have two trials going here. You have mm-hmm. a criminal case, you have a civil case, and you have an internal case. All of the priority is on the criminal case. Okay. They deserve that process, the investigation, the prosecuting attorney, the defense attorney, the court deserves our respect for the process and allow them to conduct their case. That case is done here. I think they have a date sometime in April. When that is done, then we will move on to look at any internal violations that may have occurred. Uh-huh. That's not Chris Nanos's way. That's the way that almost every law enforcement agency in the land does it. We every attorney looked at this matter and said, yes, the county attorney, the civil attorneys, uh-huh. they all said, yes, the sheriff is right. Let's wait till this is over. The Attorney General's office, for whatever reason, believes that, no, we'll look at the internal affairs case. That's up to them. I have no clue what that investigation's about, what it involves. They've not contacted me. I've not contacted them. We will cooperate with them. If they need anything, we'll gladly get it for them.
Okay.
And that's the sexual. And for folks that haven't been following this, the Ricardo Garcia is the deputy sex assault case.
Correct.
People may not have been following it closely, but that's coming up in trials, coming up in
yes,
couple
sir.
Of months or
yeah.
something like
yes.
that. Before we let you go, what are you when you go? The budget hearings will be coming up before we know it for your new budget. What are you going to be asking for, Sheriff Nanos?
You know, we've worked really close with and continue to work close with our county administrator and her team on making sure we get as best we can to close to budget. That's always a priority. You know, we don't ever want to be over budget. But there's always going to be that battle about, hey, I need this. And they're going to say, well, that's fine, but we need to do this. They get to prioritize that. I wish I could win every battle. I just can't. But we're going to do our best to come in under budget. And we're working with Ms. Lesher on that. My ask now is, the last few years was about staffing. Some of the things we know about staffing is what? You want to recruit, you better be competitive. You've got to have.
Are we paying pretty much now? The surrounding areas?
We are. We're making headway. We're getting there. You know, before I came on board, there were two promotional processes throughout the entire department. That was to sergeant, lieutenant. After that, everything is appointment. Today, we stand here with about, because of Ms. Lesher and the county board of supervisors' ability to pass this CBIZ, which was a pay study they did, compensation study, they have now created for us, for my department, probably about 11 to 12 different levels of promotional processes.
Wow.
So we've given you an opportunity to grow.
That's a sales pitch for you guys when you recruit now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it does. Now, are we compared to, are we equal with
are
say,
we like compared
Tucson Police?
To Maricopa County or some of these other places?
You know, I don't compare myself to those agencies.
Who do you compare it to?
I compare with
local.
Who I recruit against.
Okay.
It is the Tucson Police Department. Chad Kazmar, great guy, great friend. We compete against each other for that. I give him, he came to me just a few weeks ago, asked us, how come you're able to recruit so many? What are you doing? And we share that with him. I keep some secrets.
No, well, you
I'm
don't want to tell
him. Trade secrets.
No,
trade
kidding.
Secrets.
He knows. And we, you know, that's really, I recruit in my backyard. I want my deputies to come from Tucson because guess what?
That's
they're
going
to have a love
be.
For this community, and I want their families here, and I want them to know and enjoy the fact that they're making not just safe for the community, but themselves as well.
You know, before we let you go, you brought up the Chief Kazmar, and I know you've been working on the area serious crime in, I don't know, what is the term for it I'm looking for? Serious crime incident unit. You like that very much.
Our critical incident team.
You like that very much.
Yeah, you know.
And the chief likes it. Yeah.
I think the entire valley does. We've got all 11 agencies involved.
So how's that work, simply put?
So it's real simple. If there's a critical incident, for example, those two deputies that got in that shooting, the sheriff's department steps back and allows all the other agencies to come in as a team and select who's going to be in charge, and they run the investigation. It allows us time to breathe. That's a really hard event on my team. They're still reeling from it. Not just the two deputies. Everybody associated with it. TPD and Moran and Oral Valley and Sarita, all of them stepped up. They all helped out. I know I'm missing some. Everybody, I got so much contact on that. But we now get to not just step back and breathe. We're away from the investigation. We might do a peripheral investigation to deal with any internal issues, training matters, things like that nature. But the whole criminal part of that is handled by another agency. It lends itself to better transparency. To allow the county attorney or the prosecutor or defense to say, here's what we think happened, and let it go forward.
And you like the way that's worked out? For everybody seems to be happy with that.
Absolutely, yeah, without a doubt.
All right, Eddie, did you have any final thoughts?
You know, one quick question. We're going to definitely dive into the sale of marijuana, but the state has collected over these last, I guess, like 2.5-3 years now, almost $175 million in taxes. How much of that is received by your department, and what do those dollars go towards?
So we get, I think it's every 6 months.
Yep.
We just got, I'm going to say around $600,000 just for January. I believe it was in that area. That money goes for nothing but police service. Could be equipment, could be training, could be... it cannot go to the budget to supplant budget issues. It really is just for, it can't be used for salaries. It's simply, I need a new training center. I can build a new training center with it. I need air conditioning at the jail because one, I could either give it to general fund, or because general fund's so strapped, I can use those.
Could you buy like a helicopter?
I probably could. I don't need one, but yes, I could. It is really pretty broad. You know what we use it for is really equipment.
Yeah.
Body armor for our canines, body armor for our officers, uniforms, constantly uniform equipment, guns, all
the vests,
vest, all of those things.
Everybody wearing vests now?
Yes, they've worn. We've mandated the vests for years.
Yeah. And cameras? Everybody wearing a camera now too?
Yes, body worn cameras, but that's paid for by general funds, and so yes. But yeah, cameras are, and it's not just the deputy; it's our corrections officers as well. So. Yeah.
And mixed feelings among some of the gang about wearing the vest. I mean, not the vest, but the camera.
You know, I had mixed feelings when they first came. I was like, "Oh, I don't need somebody to big brother me." But you know what? The deputies convinced me. They're the ones saying, "No, we want them."
Yeah.
Because they know too well.
It backs them up.
It shows we're not doing what people might think we do. Here it is. We're open. Look at what occurs here.
Yeah.
And you can make your decision. So,
all right, Sheriff, we're out of time. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you both. Thank you, and good to meet you, Mr. Eddie.
Nice to meet you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. I've got a few thoughts with Eddie, and we'll be back on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez and 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez and 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezand67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Sheriff Chris Nanos for his appearance here on the program. Hadn't had the sheriff on in a while. We'd had some scheduling issues, but good to have him on, and always good to have Eddie Celaya. Eddie's been one of our team here as co-host with me during his days with the Arizona Daily Star. 4.5 years with the Star, but now he's moving on, and we hope to have him still with us as he assumes his new role as a general assignment reporter at KGON 9, and he'll be starting with that in a week or so. Eddie, so you have had a really interesting career so far, print, and of course with your podcast, Here We'd Go. That is owned by, actually, the Arizona Daily Star.
It is.
And
it
their
is.
Parent company, so you will not be continuing as the host
Unfortunately.
Of Here We'd Go. Yeah,
I got to about 90 episodes.
90 episodes. Yeah. Wow, yeah. So that whole issue of marijuana, it's not really a big issue anymore. It's a big moneymaker, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as evidenced by what the sheriff just said,
yeah.
That I think even law enforcement now is kind of on the green pot train, as it will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state brought in just over $1 billion in sales as of September. The numbers came out in December. I'm guessing by February, when we know the initial numbers for this year, that sales will exceed the $1.1 billion from last year. And there will be a record haul as far as taxes, the tax haul for the state as well.
I do want to bring, we mentioned it, that about Mike Ortega, people thing I like about our noon show, noon hour, it's a mini drive time. People are in and out of the car. They're going to meetings, they're going to luncheons, and perhaps people haven't heard the news. So I'm going to give it to folks again. City Manager Mike Ortega notified today his intent to leave the position. Mr. Ortega notified the council and the mayor. He'll be leaving his position after the completion of the 2024-2025 budget process. So that means he's got, you know, a little time left, but I wouldn't think all that much because budget is coming up and we are in 2024. But that's kind of an interesting development, something I didn't see coming. And I know the sheriff, when we mentioned this, he didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it. I didn't see that happening either.
Yeah, because when I think of Mike, he's just like, you know, bodybuilder. He's like, you know, this really vibrant guy. It just seems like he's not going to be retiring anytime soon. But more power to him if that's the way he wants to go.
Exactly.
So your thoughts about leaving print over to broadcast, it's a different animal in many ways. However, of course, it's still content driven. So
it is.
You know, the roots of it are still the same.
You know, I consider myself a pretty decent writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that part of the job I'll be able to kind of transition into well. And I've always had a little bit of a flair for the camera as well.
There you go. Yeah.
So initially when I got into journalism, gosh, nearly 10 years ago back at Pima Community College, I was looking to be on some sort of broadcast track. They just didn't offer anything like that at the time.
So there you are. Now you're back. And I will say that in my college days, my undergraduate work was in drama, theater, and boy, did it come in handy. Not so much in radio, but my nearly 30 years in television over in San Jose and then in here in Tucson, because there is certainly a flair for the dramatics on the TV news side. So if you can, that part sounds like you're ready to go. All the best to you, and I hope we can continue our relationship here on the program.
Oh, I really hope so, Bill. This is just the most fun that I have at the end of my week.
Great publicity for KGON 9, that's for sure.
Let them know.
All right, we will take a break right here. Dan Gibson, Weekend Watch, coming up right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
We are off and running on a weekend watch with Dan Gibson, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a 3-hour drive to a very different kind of experience, and an experience I'm happy to say that when we send people over to Silver City, everybody has a great time. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, what to do, where to stay, and even some great places to eat with that New Mexican cuisine. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, who's going to fill us in on some tips on the second weekend of 2024, Mr. Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. Just as a note, if you're planning ahead for February, they're having a chocolate festival in downtown Silver City, February 10th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Very
good. It's a chocolate fantasia. Just wanted to throw that out there for your fine
friends
and, in western New Mexico.
And why don't you kind of earmark that and remind our Weekend Watch listeners as we get closer to it, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
Book your rooms now. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You want to talk about Tucson for a little bit?
Yeah, let's see. What's going on this weekend?
Well, you know, it's Tucson Jazz Festival time, a festival that I was on the board of for a while, and I think gets better and better each year. They're kicking off. They have some food partnerships this year, which is nice. Today, starting at 5 p.m. At Mojo Cuban Kitchen and Rum Bar, that's at Grant and Campbell. They have a Latin jazz-themed three-course menu. It's $40 a person, but also the Amel Clark Hueva Trio will be playing live Latin jazz from 5 to 7 p.m. Probably good to get reservations. But, you know, we could also just check it out and see what's going on. But the solid deal, $40 for a three-course meal. Also, tonight, one of my picks for the jazz festival, there is a Danish Tucson jazz fusion thing happening. Local musician Thorger Lund is a Danish transplant to Tucson. He brought some of his Danish friends to town to perform jazz. They're doing a series that's at the Cabaret Theater at the Temple of Music and Art, nice and intimate, almost like a speakeasy vibe. Those shows are January 12th, 13th, and 14th, different themes each night. I think tickets are $20, which is solid, but a very small little venue, and get to see some interesting music that's happening in different forms over the weekend.
That sounds like there's a lot going on, and I've got room for a couple more, Dan Gibson.
Perfect. You know, everyone, most people that I know enjoy wine. Just off of 4th Avenue, one of the best places to get wine in Tucson is Revel. They are celebrating their 7th anniversary this weekend. Tonight, a complimentary happy hour wine tasting from 5 to 7 p.m. with wines from Maverick Natural Wine Company, Sonoran Wines, and Stem. And then tomorrow, their big celebration, 4 p.m. to midnight. Special discounts on bottles and glasses all nights. A bubbles toast at 9 p.m. plus music by the Rosano Brothers from 7 to 9 p.m. Solid evening happening all around. Revel is just off of 4th Avenue. I'm trying to remember the street, but it's the one the buffet is on. So, I mean, just head to the buffet, but don't go quite as far.
You know, I was thinking about that Cuban place. I bet they do a nice mojito.
They do an excellent mojito. Actually, yeah, it's a really solid restaurant all around. It was a pleasant surprise. I mean, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh, Cuban food in Tucson. We'll see how it goes. But the Ropa Vieja, the drinks were good. Excellent service. Dan Gibson recommends Mojo.
I can take one more quick one.
All right. There's a traveling Thai restaurant that goes around the country doing different pop-ups and called Pranam Pop-Up, and they will be at Caps and Corks on West River on Monday, January 15th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. They may sell out early, so you want to make sure you get there, but they're traveling the entire country. They're from Houston. I mean, Houston, Texas, but it's a man and his mother who are traveling all around the country doing these pop-up Thai restaurants, and they just like the freedom of showing up and doing interesting things. Caps and Corks will also have specials on Modern Times beers that day.
All right. Sounds like they put a lot of miles on that food truck as they travel the country. And if folks are wondering,
you got to keep up with the maintenance, I find.
And if people are wondering, it's always fun to check out these people on the radio. What do they actually look like? We've got Dan Gibson's picture up at buckmastershow.com. He's our latest contributor. Photos and bios of all of our contributors. There's a couple dozen of them up at buckmastershow.com. Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend.
I will do my best. You too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to Tom Fairbanks and the entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media Tucson. Wishing everybody a great long weekend. We'll be back live on Tuesday.